Ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday. Welcome to episode 2 of Barking Out Loud, a Butler 360 Sports Podcast, where we talk all things Butler men's basketball. This week, I'm your host, Drew Sanifer, and I'm joined today by Butler's 360 analyst, Mr. Zach Sterrett. Zach, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Especially good after Butler's most recent win, a 79-76 win over the Villanova Wildcats. Saw a Kamar Baldwin 3 at the buzzer. Zach, you were at the game. What were some of your initial thoughts?
Correct, yes. I was actually sitting front row. It was kind of an insane game. Probably the third best Butler game I've been to at Butler so far, with the other two being the Court Storms against Villanova. So it seems like all Villanova games are always extremely exciting. But, this game was kind of interesting. We kind of had control the whole time. We went up by about 10 points there pretty early in the second half and kind of got control of the game. But Sadiq Bey and Colin Gillespie, obviously, as they always are, were fantastic, with Bey hitting some huge shots down the stretch to close the gap and to tie up the game with about 20 seconds to go. But, Kamar hitting that huge shot. This is the type of win that could really change the season after that pretty depressing loss against Providence, to be honest, at home, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. Kind of like your classic trap game, maybe coming off a big win against Georgetown. Winning on the road in the Big East is always huge, and I think we kind of overlooked Providence a bit, looking past them into Villanova. So,
yeah, and a huge part of that Villanova win is Aaron Thompson's return. He was out for 3 games after being hurt against Villanova with a wrist, and was out for those Marquette, Georgetown, and Providence games. And a lot of people think, Thompson isn't a shooter. He's not going to be putting up 20 points a game. But the Butler offense is significantly better when he's on the floor. Some have called him the straw that stirs the drink. Watching the Villanova game versus, let's say, a Providence game that was much, much uglier offensively, how do you think he impacts his team coming back?
I would say Aaron Thompson is absolutely huge to this team. Again, kind of as you just mentioned, he doesn't really – I mean, sometimes you check, the box score and you're like, oh, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, really not doing too much. But now every single possession he's out there, he is impacting the game in a big way. Just being that floor general to run the offense and then, of course, at the defensive end also – usually covering their best guard, which in this case it was Gillespie until he got in foul trouble. So, and I think the main thing was Aaron Thompson coming back obviously reduces Khalif Battle's minutes, which I think is the main thing. Khalif Battle doesn't seem quite ready yet. I think he'll be big in the next few years, but having a freshman play big, big minutes like that in the Big East already is very tough. So just Aaron Thompson coming back just for the sole reason of his defensive capabilities and maybe keeping Battle off the floor a bit strengthens our team in itself. So
yeah, and that Villanova win was so much sweeter because possibly Butler was licking its chops after a 65-61 loss to Providence, who is a solid team, don't get me wrong, but Providence is about the middle of the pack in the Big East, and if you want to be successful in this league, you've got to pick up those games against the mid-tier at home. They're 1-for-14 behind the three-point line. Really, nobody could get anything going. What were some of the concerns that you saw out of that game, and do you think the return of Thompson fixes those, or that might be a long-term concern for them the rest of the year?
Right, so kind of as I mentioned earlier, that Providence game was really weird, and as you just attested to, you have to win those games at home against the middle-of-the-road teams, especially a Providence team who has been playing better in the Big East Conference, but non-conference-wise, they were not good early in the year. I think going, 7-6 through the non-conference, and now they're 6-4 in conference and right there with us, I guess, to tie in the conference. So they're starting to pick it up a bit, but again, the main thing about Providence missing Aaron Thompson that was big was, again, his defensive ability with LaWayne Pipkins putting up 22 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like if we have Thompson in that game, kind of shuts down Pipkins a bit because he was their best guard. And then, of course, Pipkins I think, what, he's missed one free throw all year or something like that. 97%. I mean, oh, my gosh. Like, so, and, of course, we just, I mean, he just kept getting the ball in his hands at the end of the game. So, I think that's the main thing. We did a great job against Alpha Diallo, though, which he's usually huge against us. So, kind of surprising that Diallo's been coming off the bench recently, actually. He usually doesn't do that. But, yeah, Diallo's been playing off the bench. And, yeah, I just think that's the main point where Thompson helps us is, again, defending those big guards, just like he did against Nova, even though Gillespie and Bay had a big game.
Yeah, and you touched on Pipkins kept getting the ball there down late in that game, and you know he's such a good foul shooter that if he was able to get the ball inbounds cleanly, it was almost an automatic 2 points for Providence, and it kind of iced the game for him. Did you see that more as maybe a coaching mistake that? Maybe players didn't know that he was quite that lethal from the shooting line, or do you think it's on the players to know that and get more of an effort, maybe put 2-3 guys on him to just make anybody else? And obviously there at the end, time is more valuable than anything, so you just want someone to have the clock stop. But do you think it's part of on the players to know their personnel?
I think it's more on the coach for this one. I do. I think it's more on the coach. The coach has to know that. Yeah, I mean, as you said, 2-3 guys, double, triple team him if he can. Of course, when he does get the ball, as you said, time is a concern. So if he gets the ball, you don't have time to trap. You just have to foul. Mm-hmm. So, which is exactly what the players did. But you've got to come in with like a better game plan for those late game situations against a guy like that. For example, like Gillespie or Marcus Howard or Pipkins. I mean, when we're coming up against these, Big East is filled with great guards. So when we're coming up against these great guards, in late game situations, we have to have a better game plan for them. And this is one of those situations where I don't think LaVal really had the best game plan in that last minute or two. And that's really something that we have to improve going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the reason why that was such a shocking loss is because they had just come off two really big wins, one against Marquette at home, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But this first one, most recently of the two, at Georgetown. Again, Georgetown's one of those middle-of-the-pack teams. But if you want to consider yourself one of the elite of this league, that's a game that you have to go in and win. And they did. They went down early in the first half. It was not looking pretty by any means. But Sean McDermott's shooting ability in the second half really propelled the Bulldogs team forward. He finished 7-for-10 from the three-point line. And that's a lot of testament to a lot of the games that we've seen this year is that, you know, Kamar can put up 30 any night, but you're not going to win a game by scoring only 30 Correct. Points. You have to have somebody be there to be that secondary scorer. So what did you see from McDermott in that Georgetown game that proves that maybe come March, he can be the secondary scorer in the tournament to get the Bulldogs to the second weekend and beyond?
I mean, again, I can't say it enough. McDermott was just absolutely huge that game. He was exactly what we need him to be. He played more like this in non-conference. Non-conference play, he was fantastic. And I kind of thought that would carry out throughout the entire season, which it has. He's still been great in the Big East. But these are the types of games where we need, where Kamar isn't putting up 30 like he did against Marquette or something like that. If Kamar puts up 18, we need somebody else to also be putting up 20 points or something to help our scoring out a bit, whether that's Golden, just like he did against Nova, or Tucker, or McDermott. I mean, we need somebody else to step up when Kamar isn't putting up 30 a game. So, and yeah, kind of as you said, winning on the road in the Big East is tough, no matter the opponent. So, Georgetown, of course, as you said, like lower third of the Big East, but still, those games are tough. Mm-hmm. So, and as was evidenced, we got down late in the first half, and we had to dig ourselves out of that hole, which is tough to do on the road. But we did, and I think that game kind of turned our season around. I think if we lose that game, players start to lose confidence, and I think the next couple of games after that could have turned out a bit different. But I think that was a huge game mentally for our team.
Yeah, and then you mentioned those games that Kamar can just take over and win the game almost seemingly single-handedly, and that's what he did in the game before against Marquette at home, which was an 89-85 victory for the Bulldogs in overtime. Kamar Baldwin had 2 points at halftime, but he finished with 31 with just a flurry at the end, at the second half and in overtime. I'm not even sure if anybody else on the team took a shot. But he finished with 31. But probably the bigger storyline for the Bulldogs, that was the key for them in that win over Marquette, was limiting Marcus Howard, which was especially remarkable considering that Aaron Thompson, that was the first game he was out. They limited Howard to 8 for 27 from the field, 4 of 18 from 3. And we kind of saw an unsung hero in this year kind of step up and take those defensive responsibilities from Henry Badley. Do you think that's something that the coaches will keep in the back of their mind once they come later in Big East play in the tournament?
I think so. Henry Badley has length, and he has the versatility as a defender to cover, what would you say, positions 1 through 4, I think. I mean, he could cover point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and maybe even some undersized fours. Henry Badley is just absolutely huge to this team, and I'm kind of shocked they didn't use him in non-conference play or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the injury to Christian David vaulted him into the starting, or not the starting lineup, but into the rotation in general. So
yeah, he's definitely been a defensive game changer for the Bulldogs, and one that I would expect later come March when, without a doubt, they're going to face another guard. Maybe not quite as good as Howard, but with his skill set, and they'll be able to plug and play Badley there. Transitioning now to preview of, once again, Marquette. A quick turnaround, even quicker for Marquette. I think they've only played 2 games in between these since playing Butler the last time. This time, though, it's in Marquette's raucous home court environment at the Fiserv Forum where the Bucks play. What do you think? It was an overtime in Hinkle, so you know it's going to be even tougher there. Zach, what do you think the keys to the Butler win are going to be on Sunday?
Correct. Obviously going to be another tough game, especially on the road, of course. So, keys to the game, again, I mean, obviously, it always centers down to Marcus Howard. So, if we can find a way to contain him, then you kind of just contain the whole team in general. After Joey and Sam Hauser transferred out last year, Marcus Howard is really their only, like, consistent point, like, getter. So, if you can stop him, you can usually slow down Marquette pretty well. They do have Sakara Neem that dropped 22 against us last game, but for the most part, if you can contain Howard, we'll do just fine.
Yep, and it'll be a key game too. When you look at the Big East standings, Butler and Marquette both sit at 6-4, and Creighton and Providence also sit at 6-4. Xavier's been hot recently. Seton Hall's 9-1. Villanova's been slipping. Over the past 2 weeks in the Big East in general, what have you been seeing?
So teams are starting to show a little bit of their weaknesses. Kind of obviously, Seton Hall started out really hot, finally lost a game in the Big East, and Villanova that also they lost to Creighton at home, which they never lose at home. So that was shocking that they lost the Pavilion, and then obviously losing to us too. So teams are starting to sort themselves out a little bit, and the gap between 6-7 is starting to really show itself with Providence, Creighton, Marquette, and Butler all tied at 6-4 in the conference, and then it's a decently dropped off to Xavier at 4-6, and then of course you have Georgetown, St. John's, and DePaul down there. But if things continue to go how they are, it looks like the bottom four teams right now could be the bottom four teams when March comes around for the Big East tournament.
Yep, and then looking on to the Big East outlook for the NCAA tournament, right now Joe Lunardi has Butler slotted as a 4 seed, but definitely a lot of other Big East teams in play. Certainly those top 5, maybe even Providence or Xavier could fit into the tournament. In Butler and in other Big East teams like Seton Hall and Villanova, do you see a possible championship contender here, or how far do you think a Big East team could go this year?
That's a pretty good question. Yeah, so he has us at 4. He also has Villanova at 4 and then Seton Hall at 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a tough question. I've never actually been too big on Villanova this year. I've been pretty confident I was pretty confident that we would beat them, and we did. I don't think they're that great of a team, actually. I don't see them going too far in the tournament. For Seton Hall, obviously, I think when you have a player of Miles Powell's caliber, you have a chance to make a deep, deep run, and they definitely have that chance. And then when it comes to us, of course, Kamara is going to be the big story, but, I mean, if Sean can get rolling in the tournament and Jordan Tucker, if those two can get hot and hit from three-point range for 3 to 4 straight games in the tournament, we could make a serious run. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's all going to come down to our role players, though, and then for Seton Hall's case, it's all going to come down to Miles Powell. But besides that, I don't think any other team has a chance at making a run in the tournament, whether that's Marquette or Creighton or whatever.
For sure. The race to March is on, and we'll find out what this Butler team holds in their next game and for the rest of the season, starting with their game at Marquette at Sunday, February 9th, 12 noon on FS1. Thanks so much, Zach, for taking the time to talk a little bit about Butler men's basketball. We'll have episode 3 out soon. And for Zach, I'm Drew Sandifer. This is Barking Out Loud, a Butler 360 Sports podcast, talking all things Butler men's basketball. We'll see you next time.